since the 1950s, Meyer has been publishing specific information pertaining to scientific information, environmental information, world event-related information. In what are called the official context, starting in January, I think it's 28, 1975, Meyer started to, at the request of these Pleiaren extraterrestrials, to transcribe all of their conversations between them. And whenever they would speak, whether there was one person speaking with him or if he was with more than one person, he would have to number each of their sentences in order to, you know, keep track of it that way. And he was wondering why he had to go through that trouble. It's enough that he's a one-armed guy and he can type in German at over 60 words a minute, sometimes up to 100 words per minute. In the film that's freely available online, you can see a little bit of that. They told him that in the future people would, you know, of course, accuse him of backdating, retrodicting, you know, basically falsifying and claiming that he had published things that he hadn't at the time. Oh. By putting the numbers in, this would give a consistent record in all of the transcripts that would be disseminated originally in German, as well as any that were translated into other languages, making it impossible in this pre-computer age, 1975, you know, for him to go back and alter these things. Now, just in all fairness to critics who said, well, some of these documents have different numbers, there's another thing that happens often. After he transcribes his contact, there are times when he has had more information about a particular thing given to him by the ETs, and that has found its way in, and sometimes the numbering sequence has been changed. And I understand if people would object to that, but we have so much verifiable, copyrighted, dated, published information that shows that he indeed, without any doubt, published these specific things well in advance of official discovery. I mean, anywhere from 5 months to 50 years. And there's quite an amount. And considering that we only have a few thousand pages translated into English out of 26,000 plus, there's just a wealth of material sitting in German waiting to be translated. So the books that they're talking about, these translations did find their way into books. Wendell Stevens published 4 volumes of better translations than I received. He was getting them translated starting in about 78, and those came out as books, collector's items now, and we have them as e-books so people can just download them and not, you know, spend hundreds of dollars for them. But those transcripts, there's portions of them that are freely available online as well, and that may be what people are talking about. In that sense, he was given information that appeared in books.
Any particular reason that might come to mind as to why Switzerland was selected as a place to do this contact?
Well, we could back it up to because Meyer lived there, but we could say that those two things are probably interdependent because also Switzerland, you know, is ostensibly the country of peace and neutrality. Although, in fact, recently, within the past number of years, and not well known to all Swiss citizens, they've compromised their neutrality in a number of occasions. That's another story. But that was a location that would be in a country that wasn't at war with anybody, you know, peace, neutrality, and the core teaching and message in the Meyer material has to do with love and peace and freedom and harmony. Now, those, let's say, 4 cornerstones might sound to some people rather simplistic, but if we observe our world today and someone says, how would you, instead of this mess that we currently have, how about love and peace and freedom and harmony and everything that would go along with that? It might not seem quite so, simplistic or simple-minded to have those qualities pervade individual collective lives.
Unbelievable. Well, now someone suggested in an email here that you may actually... When you talk to him, what is he like? Is he, is he quiet? I mean, do you channel him in some way? I mean,
no.
I know I'm getting out there a little bit, but hey, you know, it could happen, right?
No. One of the things that I noticed with Billy is there's a certain uniformity of the way he is with people. And I mean, I've seen him, of course, interact with family and friends, strangers, acquaintances. And there is something that you would call a friendly neutrality. He's not defensive with people. He doesn't volunteer. He doesn't come up to people and start telling them stuff. He actually is a fairly quiet person. But if he's around, like if you're in Switzerland and you're in the kitchen, let's say, and Billy comes in to get a cup of coffee, you can feel like with anybody, well, you know, maybe this guy doesn't want me to start badgering him. Or you feel like, hey, you know, excuse me, I got a question for you. And you talk. There are some people, and I've known Billy for about 12 years, so I can sit and meet with him at times, you know, and we spend time. And sometimes we literally joke about things. Or earlier on, some years ago, I was mainly one visit. I remember I was talking to him about the hinges on the doors and the way they built their property to deal with the weather conditions, and how, you know, the Swiss craftsmanship thing was so evident there, even in this rugged environment. You know, I mean, just conversations. There are other things where, and I'll give you an example of something we discussed this last time, and this will tie in also to this idea of advanced information. So let me do it this way. In 1981, the first time, Meyer was given a piece of information from what are called the Henoch or Enoch prophecies. In 1987, he was given a large amount of this information. All of this is freely available on the website. Nobody has to pay a dime to get it. Okay. I've had it up, I think, since about 2002, when I got the German pamphlet and had it translated into English. Now, in that document, one of the weird things, and, you know, maybe I can even, you know, flip to it while we're speaking here, but I just want to tell you about it anyhow. One of the weird things was that he mentioned this strange thing about the Russians and a place called, at the time I didn't even know it was a place, called Arkhangelsk, I think it's pronounced. And I was wondering, you know, what is this about? This just sounds so bizarre. Here it is in the Henoch prophecies, where the title is Wars and Devastation in Europe and North America. Yet Russia will not rest and will attack Scandinavia, and in so doing will embroil all of Europe. And months before that, a terrible tornado will have swept across northern Europe, causing great devastation and destruction. Okay, here's where it starts. It must still be stated that the Russian attack will occur during the summer, in fact, starting from Arkhangelsk. Denmark will not be dragged into the war due to the insignificance of this country. Yet Russia will not be satisfied with this action of war, as her will for expansion will be ravenous, and consequently Russia will launch a military attack against Iran and Turkey and will conquer these two countries in bloody fighting, causing enormous destruction. Okay, that was the first thing. Then, a little later on, back to Russia and America, America and Russia will have the most terrible weapons of mass destruction at their disposal, a fact which is already the case to a certain extent today, now that's 1987, and will clash with violent force against each other at that time of conflict, whereby Canada will also be dragged into this conflict. The source of this conflict will substantiate the Russian attack on the American state of Alaska and against Canada. Now, what could be more bizarre than that?
Yeah, that's a little out of left field, isn't it?
Yeah, except that in July of this year, Russia announced troop movements to where? Arkhangelsk.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to move a bunch of troops. We've got a press release on the website. I'm not looking at it, but I can tell you it's up there and it's got all this. Within a month or so, or even weeks of that, Canada announced troop movements towards the Arctic. Arkhangelsk is in northern Russia somewhere, Siberia, northern Russia. Now, Canada decided to contest this a little bit by moving troops towards the Arctic. So when I was with Billy 2 months ago, I guess it was now, I said to him, listen, the first thing I want to ask you is this. This thing with the Russians have moved troops to Arkhangelsk. Canada's moved troops to the Arctic, and it's getting a bit testy over there. It seems to me like this is kind of what the Henoch prophecies were warning about. And he says, that's the beginning. And you will see other countries will start to lay claim, mineral rights, what have you. Arctic, perhaps even Antarctic. I'm going, well, we're seeing this unfold before our eyes. What's wrong with people? Why don't we get it? And that is why, you know, the $64 million question. You know, when people say, well, give us some new prediction. What, you know, I don't believe you. Predict the numbers that I've got on a piece of paper on my television. You know, this kind of thinking. That information has been verifiably on my website for, you know, 8-9 years. I haven't altered it. It's in every version of the Hanukkah prophecies, in books and everything else. This kind of specific, discrete information, bizarre, naming the city in Russia, mentioning Canada, and then within a month of each other, Russia and Canada make their first moves.